You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So this morning I want to come to you from Paul's letter to the Galatians. I'm in chapter 6. Before we get there, I got this in the mail on Saturday. It is the first printed copy of the Book of Doctrines and Discipline of the Global Methodist Church. We are 3 years old as of May, as a denomination, several hundred years old as a religion, I suppose, dating all the way back to the Church of England and John Wesley. This Global Methodist Church, of which we're a part, is just an extension of a movement to spread the gospel throughout the globe. To spread scriptural holiness throughout the globe. And these are the governing documents of our denomination, no longer temporary, now in print. And so I wanted to share that with you because this is history that I'm holding in my hand. It's very exciting. At least it's exciting to your pastor. I hope it's exciting to you. Galatians chapter 6. Paul's talking to us here about bearing one another's burdens. Now, I prepared this message a couple of weeks ago, and the events of this past week have really driven the message home to me, as now we are, as the church, bearing the burdens of those who have been swept away in the floods in the hill country. The families still looking for their missing children. Those that have been lost, untold numbers, as all the campsites and vacation spots and RV sites along the Guadalupe were swallowed up in 26 feet of water that rose in 45 minutes, giving very few people a chance to get away. And so we're offering our rail offering during communion time today as an effort to bear some of the burden. It's one of those things that we do because we want to help and we're not quite sure how to go about it. Other than prayer, which is the most important way we can bear the burdens of others, but we want to do something, and so this is the solution that we've come up with, at least temporarily, short of making a trip to the hill country and getting boots on the ground, which I know is not a practicality for most of us. And then the other part of the message, the title of the message, you reap what you sow. And I struggle with that as I'm looking at the events of last week. Paul begins at verse 1 in chapter 6. He says, "My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, You who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. What's Paul saying to us in those opening verses? He's saying we need to be creative in how we live with one another. If somebody falls into sin, we need to forgivingly restore them. We need to save our critical comments, keep them to ourselves. Because there might come a day when you or I might be needing forgiveness before the day's end. We need to stoop down and reach out to those who are under stress, those who are being oppressed by burdens. We need to share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. And if for some reason we feel like we're too good for that, then we are badly deceived. How quick we are sometimes to be critical of people who fall short of our expectations. Never mind falling short of the glory of God, which we all do, Scripture says. As fallen humans, we have a natural tendency to kick a person when they're down, don't we? Paul is saying that we should resist that natural tendency, that temptation to criticize the shortcomings of others. Paul's saying we should reach down and lift them up, help them move through their difficulties and their circumstances. And we never know when we might find ourselves to be the one on the ground looking to others for a kind word, a loving gesture to help us get up on our feet again. The Bible says all fall short of the glory of God. It may not be your day to stumble, but it's coming. And we should remember the golden rule. When people fall short, instead of criticizing, we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. See, there are different kinds of burdens that people bear. Some of them are burdens of our own making, and some of them arrive in the form of sudden flash floods. Because the human condition is full of burdens. And you may think those two things have nothing in common, but they absolutely do. They show the vulnerability of humanity in the face of a fallen and broken world in which stuff happens. Stuff happens in a fallen and broken world. Stuff that we have absolutely no control over, and yet we do have control over our response. We can sit in our sanctuary and choose to do nothing. Or we can do whatever we can find to do to relieve the burdens of people who are hurting, who either through their own devices or because of things beyond their control, find themselves in a position of needing a hand up. Let's face it, when you're down on the ground and needing help, does it really matter how you got there from your perspective? In verse 4 of chapter 6 of Galatians, Paul says, all must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride, for all must carry their own load. He's saying we have to make a careful exploration of who you are and the work that you've been given, and then sink yourself into that work. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare your work to the work of others. Each of us must take responsibility for doing our creative best with our own life and the circumstances that we're dealing with. The amount of disaster relief that is going on in the Woodlands Methodist Church is probably vastly different from our humble rail offering this morning, whatever it is. Does that make the work that they're doing more significant than what this small congregation is able to do? Not in the least. Remember Cindy's message about the widow's mite last Sunday. Whatever we give, if it's all that we have, that is enough because God is the multiplier. It truly is the intent that makes the difference. When we have a heart for others and want to help to the best of our ability, that help is sufficient because God will multiply it. You know, Paul's telling us that we need to spend time in self-examination and self-reflection from time to time. We tend to judge ourselves based on what others are doing for the kingdom, instead of just focusing on what we can do in response to what God has given us. There's this wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul writes to the church in Corinth where his discussion is about marriage. And you might think, what does that have to do with anything that we're talking about this morning? But in the middle of that discussion, he talks about being the best you can be wherever God has you at the moment. Wherever you are when God calls you. Paul says, however that may be, let each of you lead the life that the Lord has assigned to which God called you. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but obeying the commandments of God is everything. Let each of you remain in the condition in which you were called. Were you a slave when called? Don't be concerned about it. Even if you can gain your freedom, make use of your present condition now more than ever. For whoever was called in the Lord as a slave is a freed person belonging to the Lord, just as whoever was free when called is a slave of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of human masters. In whatever condition you were called, brothers and sisters, there remain with God. So I can sum that whole passage up in one sentence. Bloom where you are planted. Right? Bloom where you're planted. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your financial situation, whatever your struggle, do the Lord's work according to the way that you have been called to the best of your ability, and God the multiplier will see to it that it is enough. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. That's what Paul says in verse 6 of Galatians 6. He's saying, be very sure you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. This is the relationship Paul's talking about with the living Christ. Being careful not to be self-reliant, but rather instead be Christ-reliant. Would you rather rely on your own abilities or the abilities of Christ working through you? I mean, you have a choice. You have free will. You can do whatever you want to do. But I don't know about you. I would much rather have a little bit of faith in something great like Jesus than a whole lot of faith in something small like myself. I would much rather put my faith in what God supplies than what I can supply through my own strength. As we grow in God's word, as we increase in our Christ-likeness, as we grow into the measure of the fullness of Christ, we must be sure that we maintain our relationship with Him through prayer, through fellowship, through church attendance, through coming to Bible study on Wednesday nights at 5:45 in the fellowship hall. You get a free dinner. Sharing all that He has taught us with others who need Him in their lives. This is what church is all about. You might be thinking, Pastor, where are you going with all this? I know I thought that. Holy Spirit, where are you going with all this? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow in your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow in the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Paul's saying, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others who are struggling, who are down, who have been trampled, ignoring those is ignoring God. And those who plant selfishness will harvest a crop of weeds. That's all they'll have to show for their entire life's work is nothing but weeds. But, Paul says, the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Holy Spirit do the growth work inside them, harvests a crop of real, eternal life. And so in verse 9, Paul says, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of everyone, and especially for those of the family of faith. We can't allow ourselves to get tired of doing good. at the right time. We will harvest a good crop if we don't give up, if we don't quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith, and then growing from that seed into an ever-expanding global ministry. I don't know if any of you caught my thing on the message board or on the Facebook page this week. Just this morning, it increased. Our little live stream from this little sanctuary in Splendora, Texas, 865 cities it is heard in 102 countries. That's four more cities and countries than just this past Friday when I posted that. We are approaching 25,000 downloads across the globe. And it's not because of anything I'm doing. It's not because of anything really we're doing. It's that when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are no borders, and God, the multiplier, will take that message and play it in the ears of anyone who needs to hear it. The biggest source of support for those who are struggling, whether it's up in the hill country or right here in Splendora, the biggest source of support is for the church, that's you, to be the church in the community in which God has planted you. Because obedience to the purpose and the mission that God has for you as the church is the reason why God the multiplier is willing to take the message that originates here on a Sunday morning and carry it over the airwaves and the internet to a hungry world hungry for Jesus. Your obedience, your mission, your adherence to the purpose that God has called you to is the reason why the message is carried as far as it is. You ever drop a pebble into a puddle or a pond? What happens? The rings go from the center and they just keep going until they evaporate into the edge of the pond. Well, our pond is the entire globe. A globe full of struggle. A globe full of hurricanes and typhoons and tornadoes and floods, fires, earthquakes. It's all out there. It's all going on. We hear about what's going on close to us. But more and more, the world is getting smaller and smaller because of the news and all the ways that we get information from across the globe. Stuff is happening, and the only redeeming factor in all of that is the gospel of Jesus Christ that heals, that reconciles, that redeems. Paul closes this section out. He says, he's got these final admonitions and a benediction, and he says, "See what large letters I make when I'm writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they can boast about your flesh. What's all this circumcision talk? Well, circumcision back in the Old Testament times was adherence to the law of Moses. And so they made a big deal of it in the Jewish tradition. In these last sentences, Paul wants to emphasize in the bold scrawls of his personal handwriting the immense importance of what he has written. He says, "These people who are attempting to force the ways of the law on you have only one motive. They want an easy way to look good before others, lacking the courage to live by a faith that shares Christ's suffering and death. All their talk about the law is gas, hot air. They themselves don't even keep the law," Paul says, "and they're highly selective in the laws that they do observe. They only want you to be circumcised. They only want you to adhere to the law so that they can boast of their success in recruiting you to their side." And Paul says that is contemptible. It's contemptible. "May I never boast," Paul says, "of anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." He's saying, for my part, I'm going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I've been crucified in relation to the world, set free from all that stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into little patterns that they dictate. He says, the central issue in all this is it's not what you and I do, whether we submit to the law or reject the law, but rather it's what God is doing. And He is creating something totally new. What is He creating for you? A totally new and free life. And all who walk by His standard are the true Israel of God. You are His chosen people through Jesus. This weekend, we celebrated our nation's independence from tyranny. Yes? Were you there? Right? It was a hard-fought battle for liberty and freedom. What we need to remember is that freedom always comes with a price. A price paid for with the blood of the righteous. Our freedom as the people of God comes with a price paid in the blood of the author of righteousness, Jesus Christ. In Him alone is life. In Him alone is liberty. In Him alone is freedom. There's no other way to get any of that but through Him. And while we were celebrating the 4th, which just happened to fall on a weekend, so we had this long weekend, while we were celebrating and barbecuing and taking a dip in the pool or whatever it was, however you celebrate it, others were looking for their missing children. And I find that there's a disconnect in that. I couldn't reconcile it. I was distracted this holiday weekend. All I could see in the faces of the missing kids was my own kids when they were that age and what I would be feeling if it were them
that were lost in the flood. And I struggled to put this message that the Holy Spirit had given me for this Sunday, I struggled to put it into context of all that. I struggled to put it, I mean, it fits so well with the 4th of July. You look like the 4th of July. You make me want to hop out real bad. Some things fit into context and some things don't. But then I realized it's all about the struggles of the human existence and what we as the church offer in the face of all that. The real freedom, the real peace, the real liberty comes from Christ alone. And that's the message. Whatever your struggles, whatever has you down looking for help up, Christ is the only way. And so you truly do reap what you sow. Not that some of the struggles that we go through are brought on by ourselves. Some of them are, but some of them aren't. But if you sow the seeds of your faith, then when the stuff comes that's beyond your control, you can harvest the grace and peace of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of all that. And I guarantee you that the families who sent their children to Camp Mystic, a Christian camp where the gospel of Jesus Christ is shared with all the campers on a daily basis, I guarantee you that they are digging deep into their faith and harvesting the liberty and the freedom and the life that comes from that harvest. In the face of such tragedy, God is still on His throne. Jesus is still Master and Savior. If you sow unrighteousness, you lose freedom. If you sow righteousness, you gain freedom. It's a simple formula for life. And I offer it to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit this morning, because I needed it. And if you have been watching what's happening, I think we all need it. That's all I have. I'm done. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.